Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. And by the way, if you're looking for a place to worship, come and worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. We're in an upper room. So you can't miss us, really. Located near 11th Street, our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come and worship with us, right? Church of Jesus Christ Ministry in Upland, California. So come and worship with us. Now, we have been doing a series on unveiling the mystery of who God is. Who is God? Unveiling the mystery. And we're going to continue with the series so that we can go through scriptures together and the Lord will unveil bits and pieces of who he is. As we read the Bible, the Lord is continually, constantly unveiling bits and pieces of who he is until the mystery will be completely unveiled. He has to unveil it, but we can search the scriptures to get the revelation of who he is. And that's what we're going to do today. We'll be right back. Here's Sharon Youngblood in the home.
Remember my name.
You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. Our message for today, we're going to get into the laws of God. Remembering now, this is a series of unveiling the mystery of who God is. Now, let's talk about his laws. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we ask that you open up our understanding, that we may receive the revelation of who you are, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the revelation of who we are in Christ. Help us to understand, O God, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Now let's get into our message, the laws of God. When God created all things, he had to create order. So he created and established laws, the laws of nature, which are the laws of the earth, the animals, insects, plants, and sea life, the sky or atmosphere, and so on. Laws of the universe, stars, moons, and planets, and laws in the spirit realm as well. And even laws within the human body, which is the circulatory system, cells, muscles, arteries, and so on. God's moral laws are of right and wrong are just as important. And it is given to man as commandments. God's laws and commandments are teachings and instructions. It is his word, and his word establishes order, especially when it comes to loving him and loving others. If God speaks it, it is law. If God commands it, it is law. And if any of his laws are broken, then another law comes into play automatically, and that law is punishment, which could be discipline or death. It could be separation from God himself and other things like lake of fire, hell, and so on. This is all a part of God's order of life. It is his laws that started from the time God said, let there be whatever. When he said, let there be, it started. He created an order, which became an action, which in turn created a reaction, which created another action, and then a reaction to that action, and on and on. When Adam fell by being disobedient to God's law or to God's direct command, it affected all the other laws, the laws of nature, and even the laws of the universe. All laws were broken, the laws of the body, the moral laws of right and wrong, and especially of loving God and loving others. Keep in mind that his commands are laws, and everything that God establishes becomes law. Everything on earth and in the universe is out of order since the fall of Adam and Eve to this very day. The earth is slightly off kilter, is slightly off its axis as a result of Adam's fall. All things are not really working perfectly in the way it was designed to in the beginning, in the day that God created the heavens and the earth. Adam was a God-man, and he broke a law or command of God. So it would take a God-man to get the laws of God back in order for the earth and for the universe. Have you ever wondered why we have so many planets in the universe that are unoccupied? Why are they there? Because when Adam fell, part of creation ceased. What we see with these other planets is unfinished work, work that Adam would have to, that actually Adam would have played a big part in completing. And we would have played a big part in it as well, because we were Adam's seed. And if he had not fallen, then we would be creating life on other planets. Oh, but just wait and see. God is truly going to do a new thing. He is going to use us to bring life to other planets as well as Earth, once heaven and earth are one, like in the beginning. He will use us to bring forth a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, we will be assisting the Lord in doing this. But in the meantime, there was no other person on earth who could restore all things. No one, even to this day, can restore all things. Adam started multiplying after his fall. Therefore, every person born on earth since the fall of Adam is a fallen-natured creature with defiled blood and in bondage to death and sin and vulnerable to Satan and demonic attacks and activities, which can cause a total separation from God. Because of Adam's fall, the destiny of man is only destruction and total annihilation. We are all feeling thing of Adam's fall to this day. We were all in the loins of Adam when he sinned. Therefore, every human being on this earth from the beginning of Adam's fall to this very day is guilty, because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, all of us. Therefore, all of mankind was headed for death according to the order of life, which was the destiny of all of us who were born in sin, according to God's laws. When God set his laws in order, he also set the laws that follow the breaking of his laws in order, which are, number one, a change in the mindset of mankind. Our minds become sinful, reprobate. Number two, a change in the nature and DNA of mankind. Our blood becomes defiled. Number three, the nature of animals, insects, fish, and so on, are programmed to either run from man or attack man. Number four, death and decay according to the laws of God is now in effect. Number five, the earth rebels against mankind with natural disasters, you know, tornadoes and tsunamis and so on. And number six, which is hell, the lake of fire, torment, and total separation from God, our Creator, is the final result. That's why all of mankind need to be delivered from the punishment of breaking God's laws. Keep in mind what I said earlier, that God's laws is his word, and his word creates actions, which causes reactions. So the punishment of breaking God's laws are simply reactions to our sins, which are negative actions. So now, what can we do? We are bound for destruction and death. We are guilty and worthy of God's punishment. What can we do to escape this? We must believe and receive Jesus Christ and accept God's plan of the ages. We must get in step with the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. God loved mankind then in the beginning, and he loves us now. He loves all of his creation. God had to do something in order to save mankind from total destruction. What did he do? Here's what God did. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. God gave his Son, his heir for the world. And when he gave his Son, he gave himself, because he is his Son. God made the decision to be born into the world for the purpose of taking the full punishment of Adam's sin and free all mankind from all generations to all generations from God's wrath. But why? Why would God do this for us? The answer? Love. He loves his creation. God's word should have never been broken in the first place. But someone had to take the punishment for breaking God's laws. So God himself decided to take the punishment of his own law. Because of the fall of Adam, which caused a lack of knowledge inside the minds of men, God now has to make himself known as the one true living God, the great creator. And through Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, he must be known as God the Father. Jesus made God known as Father, and that was God's purpose for becoming a man. All the Jews worshiped God afar off, but Jesus, who is God, brought God near, even in our hearts and in our very midst. He became Emmanuel. So in order for God to be Father, he had to become the Son of God to introduce God as Father, in order to let all believers know that he is their Father also. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He is truly Emmanuel, God with us. Now let us continue with God's laws by talking about the Ten Commandments. Many have asked if the Ten Commandments are relevant in today's society. Some say yes and some say no. But really, is it? The answer is truly yes. It is as relevant today as it was when it was written. The Lord said that God's laws hang on these two principles: to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, the Lord was saying that if you can understand what these commandments mean and actually do these two things, then you have fulfilled all the law and the commandments of God, which are written in the Torah. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible written by Moses, which some theologians also say that later it included the book of Psalm and the prophets. In actuality, the laws of God were in existence far before he wrote them on tables of stone. The universe operates on God's laws. There are laws for the order of life in all forms, and there is an order of existence to live by, and these are God's laws. For example, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a law. Once God gives the command, it becomes law. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. God established his law with Adam and Eve in the beginning. They disobeyed God's law and they died. Cain killed Abel and was punished. Genesis chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. The Lord is talking to Cain. He said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her fruit or her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. They all were punished, which is the law for breaking the law, because of what they did. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and Cain murdered his brother Abel. Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked, and God punished them because they broke the law. Lot tried to minister to them because Lot knew that the people were wicked and that they continually broke God's laws. Even Abraham tried to beseech the Lord for them, but they had to be punished. Jude chapter 1, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We must understand that God is loving and kind, but he is also just. Why did Jacob tell his sons to get rid of the false gods that they had? Because he knew that they were only to worship the one true and living God. Why? Because it is God's will. And if it is his will, then it is law. It becomes law. Joseph knew to flee from the adulterous wife of Potiphar. Genesis 39, verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back, talking about Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't keep anything back from me but you. He's talking to Potiphar's wife. He's talking to Potiphar's wife. He said, there's nobody greater in the house than I am, and neither have he kept back anything. Neither have Potiphar kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He was telling her this after she was constantly trying to seduce him. He knew that it was against God's laws, and this was before the laws was written in stone. How did Joseph know this? Because it was taught to him by his father Jacob from his forefathers who knew God's laws. And it became a law within him because the laws of God was already in his father's heart. And then he taught Joseph. And as Joseph began to develop his own relationship with God, then God's laws was placed in his heart as well. The laws of God was established before the Ten Commandments. God's laws were in the hearts of our early patriarchs of the Bible. And that's what God wants to do in us now. He wants to establish his laws in our hearts. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is for all Christianity as well. When we commune with Jesus, he puts the laws of God in our hearts, and we obey his laws because of our love for him and our relationship with him. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. So when it comes to the Ten Commandments, God put them in two parts. The first part of God's commandments deal with loving God, and the second part deals with loving mankind. You see, you know, you're going to see this clearly as we uncover each one. But first, let's start off with why the Ten Commandments had to be written. Here's the situation. The children of Israel were 3 months in the wilderness. They had just came out of Egypt, so they had to learn how to depend on God. And although they had gold and all manner of goodly materials and, you know, like silver and jewels and costly garments and they got from the Egyptians. Remember when they left Egypt, the Egyptians gave them just about everything, all kind of gifts. Well, it did them no good at that point because they were in the wilderness. They had to learn how to trust in the Lord. They, like sheep, had to learn how to depend on the Lord who was their shepherd. Many Christians, even today, will or have gone through times of being in a spiritual wilderness, when we will find ourselves in situations where we have no other choice but to totally depend on the Lord to provide, heal, deliver, and protect. And as long as we exercise our faith in him, when we are in this wilderness state, then the Lord will provide what we need. The Lord was about to establish his laws to the children of Israel, but because of their unbelief, God had to do it in a way that would establish respect and fear. The children of Israel had to see that God is the Almighty Yahweh Elohim, the Almighty Lord God. That's why he descended on the mountain in holy fire and smoke and producing a loud sound of a trumpet. It was an awesome sight and sound, so awesome that they couldn't take it. They thought they were going to die as they saw the fiery mountain with the smoke of the Lord ascending like a giant furnace and the earth quaking, and they heard the trumpet getting louder and louder with a very, very long sound. The sound of this trumpet wasn't like a person blowing a trumpet and then taking a breath in between, you know, and then blow again. This was a constant, long, continuous sound with no human breaths in between. And then finally, they actually heard the voice of God. All of this was overwhelming to the children of Israel. When God gave the commandments, he wanted them to understand how important his commandments are. His commandments, his laws, and his word are synonymous. And his word was established from the very beginning. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, his word, was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. There's power in his word, and his commandments are actually his word. The Lord has many commandments, not just 10. But the 10 that he gave to the children of Israel at that time was just a small sample of more commandments to come. For example, the commandments that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us in the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew were extra commandments. And although they may not have been recited as the actual 10 commandments, it is still the commandments of the Lord with the same principle as the 10 commandments on the mount. It still held the same principles that we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. It is still the commandments of the Lord. As Jesus stated himself in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40, then one of them, Jesus said this after one of them, which was a lawyer, asked the Lord a question, tempting him, trying to tempt the Lord, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus said that himself. Now, let's get ready to talk about the Ten Commandments that was given to us in Exodus chapter 20. Here they are. Number one. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. God has not changed. He is the God who also brought us out of the land of Egypt. Egypt represents the world, and the moment we receive Christ in our lives, we are delivered out of the land of spiritual Israel. We even go across the Red Sea, just like the children of Israel, as we are baptized into Christ Jesus. That's our crossing over into the wilderness, where we rid ourselves of self and false gods. Therefore, we are not to have any other gods before the Lord. Today, just as much as the children of Israel were not to have any other gods during their time in the wilderness. Society today will use anything and anyone to worship as gods. They will use good luck charms, witchcraft, different kinds of objects, animals, and even the worshiping of angels, which in reality, those who do that are really worshiping demons. They are also worshiping or praying to saints. Society tends to make people their gods, even the worship of self. They also pray to the dead, and they idolize people, especially in the entertainment industry. They create their gods, lift them up, and then they destroy them. They even call them idols. There's a show on television called American Idol. These are television producers in the entertainment industry marketing and creating idols because we tend to lift people up. We make them stars, especially after they die. Then we make them gods. We lift people up as gods in many other ways and many other areas of life, like sports, politics, education, religion, the god of self. We lift up UFOs as gods, the gods of the medical and science field. There are other gods that people have that they've created, which are drugs, money, video games, internet, worldly materials like cars, houses, property, and jewelry. Sex is another god that many worship, which is another part of worshiping self. They commit fornication and watch pornography and commit adultery. Keep in mind that when mankind put their time, energy, and money into serving things and lifting up people and secret societies and organizations and allow it to take over them or to take them over, that's when you know it has become a god to them, because you put most or all of your time, strength, energy, money, attention, and soul into it. That's idolatry. Keep in mind that anything that you place above God is idolatry. It doesn't matter who it is or what it is. The second commandment, thou shalt not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Genesis 35, verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. They're talking about Jacob's sons. Jacob's sons gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand. They were worshiping false gods, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Just as the children of Jacob and many people during that time had their graven images that they worshipped. Society today also have graven images, like the Catholics who bow down to the statue image of Mother Mary or the statue of Jesus on the cross and the other saints. Buddhists bow down to their little fat belly god. Many build shrines in their homes to their gods and in their businesses or in the business world. Many build shrines in their offices or show a display of the trophy or image they strive to attain in order to get the company's recognition. In professional sports, they crave the golden basketball or football, and in the movies or in the movie industry, the Oscar is a graven image that actors covet. God said that he is a jealous God, and these are the things that make him jealous. Satan continues to mock God by making images, like the image of the beast in the book of Revelation, an image for people to worship. Here's something that you probably wasn't aware of. In 2012, a group of Satanists unveiled a design for a statue of Satan that they wanted to place at the state capitol in Oklahoma, next to the Ten Commandments monument. This was happening right here in America. When it comes to the music industry, the Grammys, which is a yearly television program that focus on glorifying certain recording artists, musicians, producers, and songwriters in the music industry who are worthy to receive this graven image called a Grammy. This Grammy image is coveted by pretty much or almost all in the music industry. And every year, this television show, which is called the Annual Grammy Awards, has given itself over to Satanism, especially within the last few years, and to satanic rituals, all for the little graven image, that little graven image and honor within the Illuminati and other satanic organizations. They have been constantly making a seat for Satan in their television performances more and more every year. I'm talking about the Grammys. The Grammys are slowly becoming a big satanic church service spearheaded by secret societies. We must understand that when people covet things and other people and have a strong desire to be worshipped themselves, then they fall into a need of being praised, which is the syndrome that many fall into while obtaining this graven image and things like this. They are breaking God's commandments. They themselves are bowing down to graven images in order to be lifted up in the eyes of man, in order to be worshipped and become an idol themselves. That's why we call them stars. And this is also in Christian music. They also have their coveted awards as well. You can see it. If you truly open your eyes, you will see that society has made and is still making images of gods for people to bow down and worship. God made this commandment so that we as Christians will not bow down and crave these modern day graven images or even the graven images we create in our minds and in our hearts. There are many gods of today that are operating in the background undetected because they operate spiritually in many organizations, denominations, governments, businesses, corporations, and in different professional industries and secret societies. Even college sororities and fraternities, all having some kind of image, whether mental, physical, or spiritual. Satan uses everyone. He used people of high degree in society and those of the baser sort to subliminally worship him by means of idols and images of some kind. So be alert. Keep your spiritual senses open. Commandment number 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is so important. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God's name must continually be separate from all others. His name is to be revered and respected at all times. It's really a name that, if not for God's plan of the ages, should not even be spoken with our cursed lips. But because of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, we can call upon the name of the Lord. We must not profane the name of the Father, which make his name common. Don't profane it. Don't make his name common. That is to say, to take away the glory and power that's in his name. And never, ever use his name in vain. Never, ever curse his wonderful name or use his name as a curse word. Never replace his name with another name of a lower degree or cause people to not honor or respect his name. Stay away from phrases like the man upstairs or when posting or texting or tweeting. Stay away from OMG. That represents a lack of respect. When pronouncing his name, it should always be in love, honor, respect, praise, prayer, thanksgiving, and worship. His name is to be adored. He is God. He is the Father. He is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. That name is actually prophetic. When you see the letters YHVH or YHWH, it's prophetic. It means the hand, behold, the nail, behold. It is Yahweh, which is pronounced Yahweh, meaning he who is or he who brings, the self-existing one, Jehovah or Yehovah. He is Yahweh Elohim. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the King and creator of the universe. His name is and shall always be holy and separate from all others. For our God is one. Our God is the one and only true, living, wise, and all-powerful God. His name is great. His name is powerful. We are to worship and give honor to his holy name because he has given to us his holy name. He's given to us his holy name. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yahweh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names. We can now come to the Father, Abba, Father, in the name of the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ the Lord, who is God manifested in the flesh, because the name of Yeshua Jesus and what God stands for is all of the names, in other words, of God, which is all in Jesus Christ. All of the names of God is in Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Just acknowledging his greatness and living a holy and loving lifestyle is praise and worship to his holy name. Remember that God's names are who he is and what he is, for he is his name. We're going to stop there right now for this week, give you a little something to kind of meditate on. So we're going to stop there, and we're going to continue our series of who God is. unveiling the mystery. There's so much more to come in unveiling his mystery and seeing who God really is. And there is a mystery. And we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will at least try to uncover a little bit of it, as much as we can as being humans, okay? So stay with us. Tell your friends to join in, because we're going to be uncovering a lot of things, unveiling a lot of things, breaking the scriptures down so that you can really understand and get the revelation of Jesus Christ, of God the Father, and even the wonderful Holy Spirit. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. Continue to stay with me as we unveil the mystery. Like I said, there's so much more to unveil And I'm so grateful to God that he's allowing us to at least uncover a little bit of who he is. Keep in mind, my name is Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and we would like to invite you to come and worship with us, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. We're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. So if you're ever in, if you're not from California and you're visiting California on a Sunday afternoon, our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come and worship with us. Come and visit us. And those of you that live near Upland or somewhere close by the Inland Empire or in the Inland Empire, come on and worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Okay? Okay. And don't forget, on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific time, so check your time zone, okay? 8 p.m. Pacific time is Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tusila. Tusila is my wife, and we share the Christian Talk radio program every Wednesday, and you will hear messages from Tusila and T. Meyer, or you will hear us with some special guests, and we have a special guest coming up for this Wednesday, so you don't want to miss it. This is Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific and Mountain. So check your time zone. It would probably be about 10 p.m. Central and 11 p.m. Eastern, and then you check your time zone wherever you live all over the world, okay, and tune in. And remember that if you miss any of our programs, you can always go to Solar Records Radio and scroll down until you see UCA Radio or Christian Talk, and just click on it, and you'll be able to listen to our programs, okay, anytime this week. Anytime this week, next week, whenever. And you might want to go back, and if you missed some of our series of what we're talking about, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery, you might want to go back on Solar Records Radio and start from the beginning and listen to our broadcast and bring you kind of up to date a little bit, okay? So go ahead and do that. And remember, we're here every week at 3 p.m. Pacific time for UCA Radio. And UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors Radio. And we are all ambassadors for Christ. No matter what you do for the Lord, if you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are, and in obedience to Christ, you are a ambassador for Christ. Okay? So stay with us. Tell your friends about us so that you can be enlightened. You'll begin to understand the scriptures, the Bible, even more clearly as you follow us. Follow us, okay? And get a good understanding of who you are in Christ, and especially the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? Okay. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it more than you will ever know. And also remember to come and visit us in Upland, California, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, and listen to our broadcast right here on Solar Records Radio. Okay? God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.